Welcome to Marketing with Confidence. I'm your host, Marianne Ames. We're going to be talking all things digital and online marketing for business owners and marketing professionals. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by your digital marketing, be sure to listen along and you'll hear tips, interviews, and more that will give you the confidence to create marketing you love. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Marketing with Confidence. Today, we're going to do a social media for small business 101. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, there's definitely a lot today that you may have heard before, but this is a really good opportunity to go back to basics and look at the essentials to getting started in social media. This is going to be a really beginner-friendly guide to using social media for your small business growth. So if you're stuck in a social media rut, or if it's a new business that you're looking to get up and running, I'm going to step you through the essentials. I have had 15 years running a digital marketing agency, and through that time, I have built businesses from day one and worked side by side with those founders to really help them leverage the power of social media. We help businesses get started from the get-go, and we also step in with businesses that have been running for a while and just aren't getting the results they want. And we always go back to basics, and obviously those basics involve strategy and getting everything right. But today I'm really going to go through the 101 of social media. What is it? Why do we need it? How you can get started? How you can really grow it? And, you know, what it looks like to have a social media strategy in place as well. So kicking off, you know, why does social media matter for small business? I, as I said, started my digital agency 15 years ago, and that really started with just me. You know, I say digital agency, but in the beginning, I was very much a social media digital marketing freelancer. I think back then it was really, you know, primarily Facebook marketing. Instagram hadn't launched back in 2010, and if it had, we certainly weren't using it for business yet. And what I sort of recognized at that time is, for the first time ever, small business had an opportunity to compete against big business. When I had a traditional marketing career and I worked for really big brands with multi-million dollar budgets, we could run a, you know, magazine campaign across 10 titles. We could be on radio. We could be on TV. And really, the small business marketing options were largely radio and newspaper, both of which had a massive reach, had very little target market insight. You kind of got these reports that said the sorts of people that read the paper or the sort of listenership, very much based on surveys of a small population. And then, you know, that's then built out as their listenership or their readership. And the other thing with radio and newspaper, you know, 20 years ago, also insanely expensive and completely non-trackable. So, you know, we would run campaigns and we had no idea who they were engaging. We may have seen uplift at point of purchase and we could, you know, infer that what they'd come from, or we did studies in, you know, brand uplift, you know, who recognized the brand now or who could name the model that we were using for that brand. And that's how we kind of measured success. But if you were a small business, if you were a beauty salon, or you were a physiotherapist, or, you know, you were making candles at home, it's near impossible to have any sort of marketing for your business because the cost to enter was too high. And although we have seen social media evolve, and my goodness, you know, in 15 years, the change that I have seen, it still is an extremely cost-effective platform for your business. And whether you are DIYing or whether you are paying someone to help you with that, or paying someone to completely manage it, or you're doing, you know, the socials and someone's doing the ads, I can guarantee that the money invested is significantly less than what you would have needed to invest relatively, you know, even 10 years ago. And also the cost-effective advertising is so much more targeted. We have access to so much more real data and real insight about what happens after we advertise. And so social media for small business is an opportunity to get in front of the people that matter most, to build a brand identity and to really drive conversion. You know, when social media works well, you can build a community around your business that wants to do business with you, wants to book your service, wants to buy your product. And, you know, I think that that is today not really seen across any other platform. I mean, you have things like SEO. SEO is a marathon. It will take you a very long time on SEO to get results. It's important, but I always tell my clients it's the marathon. You don't do an activity in SEO for a month and it pays off. You need to be it in the long haul. And then things like Google Ads are very instant, but they're really expensive. So, you know, Google Ads is like a tap. And when it works well, you turn on that tap and business comes in. But it can also, you know, it needs time to optimize and get to that lovely flowing tap state. But it's also very much then you are paying for every purchase. So social media helps us to put in a foundation that we can build on, and it helps us to really compete in the marketplace with all sorts of businesses, all sizes of business. When it comes to choosing the right social media platform, we often rely heavily on the opinions of others. So, you know, our friend might have a business and they'll tell us what's going really well, or you know, we might go to a networking event and someone tells us they're having all this success on TikTok, or we go to a masterclass and we fall in love with Pinterest, or, you know, we read an article on LinkedIn. And there's a lot of, I guess, noise when it comes to social media. And a very early podcast I did was on the barbecue effect, where, you know, go to a barbecue as a business owner, and I guarantee many people that have absolutely no idea will tell you exactly what social media you should and shouldn't be doing, and probably how you should be doing it. But when it comes to the basics of picking the right social media platform, it all comes down to the foundations. It comes down to identifying who's your target market, what do they need, what is your business type, and how is it going to lend itself to each platform. You know, as we know, TikTok and Instagram are highly video driven, highly short video driven. If your business type doesn't lend itself to that content, you're going to find it hard to succeed there organically, at least. You know, if you're trying to engage a business to business audience, you may find much more success on LinkedIn. Or if you can't put a face to your brand, again, you might have to think about how you can utilize Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn, depending on your target market, to build, whereas, you know, TikTok may not be as appropriate. So picking that right social media mix really comes down to knowing your target market and also looking at the types of content that you can confidently create. So again, whether that's video or graphics or writing, you know, or if you're going to outsource, where you can provide the right sort of content for somebody to leverage, or, you know, to work with you on building a content suite library. I like to start, you know, if we're 101, if this is you starting out, I suggest two platforms. Facebook and Instagram are quite intrinsically linked, and in some ways I consider them one platform, although I believe you have to do a little bit of fit for platform tweaking. So I wouldn't push all my hashtags from Instagram to Facebook. I'd put links on Facebook, that sort of thing. But you can probably have about 70% of content in common between the two. So, you know, when I say choose two, I'd say kind of like the Meta family plus TikTok, or the Meta family plus LinkedIn, or, you know, whatever's right for your target market. Two is a good place to start with, because to be honest, if you try to self-manage four or five platforms, you will burn out. Unless you have all the time to build social content and push it out, you know, no one person alone can manage that many platforms and do the job, you know, whether that's developing product, packing product, offering services. It's a lot. It's almost a full-time job. The next really essential step, once you've selected your social media platforms, is to set them up for success. So when you set up your social media platforms and your profiles, You really want to, I guess, honor your business and honor your brand across them. So if you're really building a personal brand, you know, you're going to use your face for the profile pictures. You're going to talk about yourself in the bio. If it's a brand that you're pushing, you know, you're going to want to use that logo as the profile picture. And as we know, some platforms give you a cover image, and that gives you a bit more opportunity to add a contextual image. So you might do a logo and your team, or you might do your face and then, a bigger branded shot that really represents the service that you offer, or inside your bricks and mortar business. So that's going to, you know, the visual identity is really going to depend on your business and what you're setting up. And then you're going to want to make those bios across every single platform really fit for platform. So understanding the dynamics of that platform, in Instagram, we might add hashtags in our bio because that really helps with searchability. On Facebook, we have a longer bio. On LinkedIn, we have a longer bio. TikTok, you know, if we're using a business account, we can have a link to our website. If we're using a creator account, we might need to link them back through to Instagram. So you really want to have fit for platform setup of all those social media profiles. But I also want to feel like it's one business. So whether I'm engaging with you on LinkedIn as the person, and then I come across to, you know, Instagram as the brand, I want to feel some sort of relationship between that, to really have that kind of integrated marketing approach as well. So once you've chosen your platforms and once you've set them up, you really then are going to go into the, I call it the disciplines of content creation. And, you know, discipline is not a word that any of us enjoy, but I can't stress enough that social media success comes from discipline. It is not the fly-by-night posting. It's not ad hoc. It's not throwing something up when you remember. It is the discipline. It is the consistency. And no matter what platform you are using, it is the consistency that gets rewarded. So you really need to start and plan how you're going to approach that discipline of managing your content creation. So you're going to want to look at the social profiles that you've activated and start to understand, like what I said before, fit for platform. What works best for this platform, and how am I going to lean into that? How am I going to leverage what this platform wants? Around Christmas time, TikTok wanted carousels. So it wanted to compete with still images. You know, a highly video based platform wanted to kind of have a crack at still images. No prizes for guessing why. And so carousels started to perform well on TikTok. And, you know, any platform that wants a new product or feature to go well, they have the power to push the content that meets their objective. So we almost get an unrealistic view that a type of content is really performing. But in fact, what we're doing is we're kind of riding the wave of that platform's interest in that content type. So, you know, it's really important to look at the platforms and look at the content that they want right now and develop your content strategy around that. At the base, we're going to have content pillars. And content pillars get a mixed rap from people. Some people love them, some people hate them. I think, you know, without content pillars, as in broad topics that you want to talk about on your social media, can feel quite untethered. And you can also just kind of talk about the same thing all the time. And, you know, social media marketing is about building a relationship. And, you know, if you go to dinner with that friend and she talks about the one thing all the time, kind of gets really boring. So, you know, content pillars help you visualize your objective through different lenses. And when you have those content pillars in place, you can start to then look at, you know, how am I going to roll these content pillars out across platforms? How am I going to make this content fit for platform? And how am I going to execute it? So take, for example, you know, the content pillar of social proof. So social proof is about showcasing what other people have to say about my service, my product, you know, testimonials, reviews, user-generated content, feedback, let other people do the talking for me sort of thing. So, you know, social proof as a content pillar. Social proof as a content pillar can be a video. It can be a video of someone saying how amazing it was to work with you. It can be a video of BTS of you packing an order with a testimonial layered on top. It can be a carousel where you break down a story and the feedback that you got over multiple images that can then slide on Instagram or TikTok or a PDF on LinkedIn. It can be a single image of a screenshot text message that a client, you know, sent you. So each content pillar can be conceptualized in different content creation outputs, and we can do that in a way that's really fit for platform. So there's a lot of jargon there for you, but I hope that breaks down that thought process for you and helps you to not let your content get stale. Just like we don't want to talk about the same thing all the time, we don't want to present it the same way all the time either, because all the platforms, you know, favor a couple of types of content. And so you want to make sure you're leaning into those types of content to do really well. I think, you know, when it comes to what I said about the discipline and the consistency, you're also going to need to create for yourself a process, or, you know, I'm trying to think of a word for people that don't like processes and discipline and all these sorts of really old school, you know, school student feeling words, a rhythm, a flow. They're much softer words. You want to find your rhythm, your discipline, your flow of how you are going to create that content. And I, you know, I'm a longtime advocate before the word batching came into fashion. We used to just call it creating in advance, but creating more than just today's post, creating more than just this week's post, you know, really finding that rhythm with creating at scale. So, you know, whether that's a week of content or a fortnight of content or a month of content, you know, how can you get that ahead? Because business happens, you know, life happens. When you're a business owner, you're generally balancing life and your business, and your social media will be the thing that suffers. You know, you get a big order come in and you're a product-based business, that's going to take priority over social media. You know, you book out with discovery calls as a service provider, or you book out with consultations, the social media will suffer. And when we're doing well, you know, we kind of go, oh, it's okay. I don't need to be so present on my socials. I'm really booked out, or things are going really well. And then when we quieten down, we go, oh my gosh, you know, a month ago I should have made noise, because here I am now today and I'm not as busy as I want to be, or, you know, projects have wrapped up. So I, you know, really believe in the discipline, the rhythm of looking at that social media, of having a really clear plan of how you are going to produce at scale, and putting aside time to support that. You know, if you can put aside an hour a week or 2 hours a week, how much content can you create? How can that, you know, support your business as you grow? Great content is only the start of social media success. Great content needs engagement. It needs an audience. It needs a community. And if you want to grow your social media, you need to be prepared to be present. And that can look like following your ideal client, following businesses that your ideal client likely engages with, and having really genuine, active engagement on your account. So, you know, replying to the comments, staying on top of your direct messages, engaging with other people's content that you enjoy, or that, again, serves a similar client to you. It's that engaging with your audience, engaging with other people's accounts that are going to continually grow your business and grow your following as well. We know that Reels on Instagram, for example, do an amazing job of getting us in front of non-followers. And you'll see that in your Reels insights, that, you know, they'll often reach more than just the people that follow you. But it's that engagement that's going to get you more of that, and more eyeballs and more new people coming to your account. Engagement can also look like using engagement tools. So whether that is running a poll, or running a collaborative competition with a business that is complementary to yours but non-competitive. So for example, if you're a makeup artist, you might run a collaborative competition with a hair salon so that you both can get awareness against each other's follower base, but you know, there's no risk of losing business to the competition. It may also be about reaching out for user-generated content either from your current client base or, engaging small influencers and allowing them to create some content and posts on your behalf, and whether that's paid engagements or whether that's in exchange for product or service, will depend on who you're working with, but that's going to help engagement. You need strategies to help your business on social media get in front of other businesses or other accounts on social media. And often tapping into somebody that's established that audience already can really shortcut the work that you have to do. If your business is service-based, there's so many opportunities for complementary businesses. And then there's potentially, business building networking groups where, finding genuine connections that want to support and help you grow your engagement. And you, of course, are doing the same for them. I am not a fan of engagement pods. I am not a fan of buying followers. I believe, with every social account, you want to grow with the maximum number of people willing to do business with you. Vanity metrics, I think, I feel like we're finally moving away from vanity metrics, but I've just seen them ruin businesses, businesses that have bought 5,000 followers or businesses that have 160,000 followers, but a post doesn't even get 2 likes. I think the consumer's more savvy to those kind of strangely large number ghost town accounts. And, it shouldn't be your proof point. Your proof point should be with your service or with your product and the content that you create that supports that as well. But, I think LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, they're all amazing for genuine engagement and really finding that support within your industry and complementary industries to attract more people to your business. If you're packing orders or sending orders, putting things in there, encouraging people to post and tag you on social media so you get seen by their followers, encouraging people to send in photos for, photo of the week or photo of the month, for service-based businesses. Looking at how your offline activities can complement your online activities. So if you go to an expo or a conference, how you can get involved in getting that community to follow you on social media. So it's really, I think, engaging your audience to grow your account is really one area where you really need to stay hands-on. And I do think, there's amazing content creation partnerships and digital marketing agencies and social media managers that can really take some of the grunt work out of content creation for you. But that engaging with your audience, I think, is something that is really important to hang on to. Community management can be outsourced, but I think it's only really appropriate if you have a really high volume and you just need help to get through the volume, because otherwise you'll actually learn so much and gain so much from the engagement with your audience, from replying to comments, for having discussions in your direct messages as well. It wouldn't be a social media one-on-one, especially not from me, if we didn't talk about social media analytics. And I know analytics isn't for everybody. I know that they can feel really overwhelming. But I think, spending some time each month having a look at the platform and looking into the insights of the platform for what happened in the last 30 days is really critical. And it's as simple as, did my followers grow? Did I have an increase in reach? Did I have an increase in engagement? Did my sales increase? Did my bookings increase? What was my top 3 performing content pieces? How can I do more of that? What were my bottom 3 content pieces? Do I want to do less of that? And then I also like to add a little bit of self-evaluation. So I think it's really important also to have a little look and go, was I consistent? Did I engage? Did I use a variety of messages? Was my content fit for platform? Because sometimes when those metrics are all down, you know, there are reasons. And if you just dig a little bit deeper, you go, oh, actually, I had a really busy month and I only posted half of what I posted last month. Well, of course, my metrics are going to be down. Or we did that competition and it went really well, so all our metrics are really inflated. You know, we can't do that every month, but how can we do that quarterly or seasonally to get those little boosts of injection as well? So, you know, really starting to understand a bit of your top line analytics is really critical as you go along your social media journey. And talking about, I guess, some of the more progressive or strategic options would be paid advertising as well. Love it or hate it, I mean, paid advertising gives you that opportunity to amplify content. And when you're putting a lot of effort into your content creation, it is really disheartening when it's seen by 10% of your followers. And as I touched in the very beginning, advertising now, marketing your business now, is so much more affordable than it used to be. And I certainly, you know, I don't take it lightly that lots of businesses are struggling and it can be really tempting to cut back on marketing. But those social media ads, those low cost ads, can really just give all your effort that little boost along. So I'm a big advocate of amplifying organic efforts with paid ads. I also believe that paid ads need a really great organic base as a proof point when people start looking into your business. Social media ads, you've got the Meta platform that covers Facebook and Instagram. You've obviously got LinkedIn ads. You've got Pinterest ads. You've got TikTok ads. They're all very much geared for small business. And I think they all do a really good job of trying to make it easy for small business. I know we talk a lot about not boosting posts, and I've done episodes that, you know, I'd encourage you to listen to about boosting posts and when and why that's okay. I think when it comes to ads, you really do need to learn how from an expert, and then you need to make that decision if that's something you want to upskill in or you want to hand it over. And both can be really viable depending on your time and your capability. But I don't think it's a just get in there and have a go, because you can lose a lot of money. And now I don't say that in a scare tactics way. I just mean, you know, even boosting posts, that's like you can throw a lot of $20 down the drain, and each $20 boost doesn't seem like much. But if you're doing that all the time and you're getting nothing back, what could you be doing with that budget that you're willing to spend as well? And again, to really wrap up the 101 is, you know, social media strategy. I think once you come on board with the platforms that you want, once you set up your profiles, kind of get your handle on content creation and you're engaging, you know, really looking at strategy. And, you know, of course we want to start with strategy. I would always encourage you to start with strategy, but sometimes it's kind of nice to put the wheels on the bus as you're going, you know, to build it as you're going. And if you don't start with strategy, certainly find a time to come back to it. And that can be really, you know, looking at the analytics and perhaps you're not getting the results that you want. And it's time to kind of go, all right, what's my strategy here? What am I trying to achieve? What are my goals? What is my process going to be? What are my content pillars? Who am I talking to? What do I want to achieve? What does success look like? And building that strategy. And you know, it doesn't have to be complex. It just has to work for you as a guiding light and a reference tool to really help you, I guess, have the confidence to stick with it. Because it does take a while. No, you know, without a lot of investment or without something really unique, there's not too many new social media profiles that go viral overnight or that, you know, really kill it overnight. There's a slow and steady approach. And I think it's that consistency and that tenacity that's going to get you there. So I hope that this, as a bit of a social media 101, has been really useful. And as I said, I hope it's useful if this is your first time coming down the social media road, or if you are in business and kind of just needed a shake up of, you know, what am I doing with my social media? How can I kind of start again? I'd love to hear your questions on social media. And, you know, I find that my episodes on social media are some of my most listened to. So please don't hesitate to ask anything you'd like me to deep dive into in future episodes. And as always, I thank you for your time today, and I look really forward to talking to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for
listening to another episode. If you don't want to miss one, make sure you subscribe to the show in your podcast app. And if you love it, be sure to share it with friends and colleagues who you think could benefit from increasing their digital marketing confidence. Want more? Head to marianneamies.com to find out how you can work with me directly, to reach out to have me speak at your event, or to grab yourself some free resources.